Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, what a wild weekend for sports. My goodness. Of course, you guys saw the beast mode. President Trump going into beast mode. He took the beast, the presidential limo, for a little bit of a victory lap at the NASCAR race over the weekend. We'll get to that story. Yeah, he was at the Daytona 500. First ever sitting president, apparently, to attend the Daytona 500. This was the second time, though, for him as president. And then, of course, just recently, he was the first ever sitting president to attend the Super Bowl as well. President Donald Trump making sports great again. Although NASCAR, I mean, they've had a couple bumps in the road, but they've pretty much stayed great, haven't they? You guys tell me. I don't spend a lot of weekend time, you know, watching TV, etc. But anyway, and then what about the hockey game? What the Kachuk was happening there? I'm just glad I finally figured out how to pronounce these guys' names. Did you guys hear about the USA-Canada game in hockey over the weekend? I know Tim and Billings probably heard about it. He was probably watching it. I had to do a rush job on this one here. I had to hurry up and get this story ready to roll for you. So let me get the script here for you for just a second so I get the right intro. But this was the story that I had. If I only grabbed one story off of the Fox News Radio affiliate website, I had to grab this one. As tensions continue to heat up between the U.S. and Canada, I wish the weather would heat up a little bit. Anyway, our two national hockey teams went to battle on the ice in Montreal. This was on the 15th, so this was Saturday night, right? Where the conflict seemed to boil over quickly. Multiple fights breaking out just seconds into the game. After hearing another Canadian crowd boo our national anthem, the gloves were off. And oh, by the way, the United States beat Canada 3-1. Not only did they beat them in the fights after the gloves came off within seconds of the game starting, they beat Canada in the game as well.
Team USA meeting their top rival in hostile territory last night meant tensions were at an all-time high right from the jump. Just 2 seconds in, the gloves were off.
They dropped the gloves right away. Matthew Tkachuk and Brandon Hagel right off the hop.
Team USA star Matthew Tkachuk and Team Canada's Brandon Hagel coming to blows moments after a face-off. But then Matthew's brother, Brady Tkachuk, wanted in on the action, going toe-to-toe with Canada's Sam Bennett just 1 second after play restarted. But that wasn't all. Only 6 seconds later, a third brawl unfolded just 9 seconds into this Four Nations face-off tournament game.
Yeah, we won all three brawls, and we won the game 3-1. Here's what really gets interesting if you're wondering what the Tkachuk was happening there. SportsCenter shared this on Facebook over the weekend. I've got it at facebook.com/Flint Report. So you heard two of the Tkachuks beat up the Canadians there in the fights in the hockey game. Did you know their dad also dropped the gloves back in 1996 with Claude Lemieux 20 seconds into the game between USA and Canada? Oh, yeah. I'll share a little bit more of that sports history right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Now, some light snow continues in the area today. Accumulations from around an inch up to 2 to 3 inches in some areas. High temperature of 19 in Bozeman to 2 above in Billings. For tonight, more areas of light snow with around an inch or 2 in spots, with low temperature readings from 5 below in Bozeman to about 10 below in the Billings area. More snow showers continue tomorrow. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Securing America.
As the first month of President Trump's new term comes to an end, the focus on removing illegal immigrants has registered some significant numbers, with arrests of illegals up 137% compared to a year ago, with over 12,000 taken into custody between January 20th and February 8th. Border czar Tom Homan commented while appearing on Fox's Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo, saying border crossings are down 90%.
Less people are dying crossing the border. Less Americans are dying from fentanyl overdoses. Less women and children being sex trafficked across that border. Less terrorists are getting in.
But he says the work is actually just beginning.
At last count, we had over 600,000 illegal aliens with criminal convictions walking the streets of this country.
Holman expressed continued frustration at sanctuary cities that are still not granting ICE agents access to those scheduled to be deported. Kevin Uretzky, Fox News.
Hey, we've got an update on the efforts to ban Russian palladium and hopefully get the Stillwater mine back up and running here in Montana. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Recently, I got a chance to catch up with Heather McDowell, who is the Senior Vice President for Legal and External Affairs at the Stillwater Mine. Very cool guest. She grew up on a ranch in Bridger, did rodeo in college, and she had some great things to say about this very topic. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Apparently, did I hear right that Justin Trudeau was in the house? Because the game was being played in Canada. I think the game was being played in Montreal, if I heard correctly. So the pretty little Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, was in the house. Do you guys remember that song that we played? The lead singer of Five for Fighting, he recorded a song about what a big wimp Justin Trudeau is and what an embarrassment to Canada Justin Trudeau is. And the song was basically, the lead singer, Five for Fighting, Justin Trudeau. It's pretty clear he never played hockey. Did this whole song about how Justin Trudeau, how Canada needs a leader who played hockey. And it's pretty clear that Justin Trudeau never played hockey. I know we played that song on the radio. I must have just played it straight off of the Five for Fighting. I know what I did. I think I played it straight out of X because I think the DailyWire.com had a story about this. Let me see if I can pull it up for you here real fast. All right, before I get to that, I shared one of the reports about the hockey fight up in Canada where the United States hockey players won all the fights, and then they won the game 3-1 on Canadian turf in Montreal with the pretty little Prime Minister Justin Trudeau in the house. But yeah, as I pointed out, so I had seen this video and I was like, holy cow, what's going on here? Because a bunch of people were sharing this clip on X about, multiple fights breaking out seconds into the hockey game. And it looked like the referees were loving it, too. They let them go. They let them till they hit the ground. And then they're like, okay, we better break this up till they landed on the ice. But yeah, what the Kachuk was going on there. So SportsCenter shared this interesting tidbit 13 hours ago. So I'll really be interested. Maybe you guys have seen more news on this. Maybe you've seen what Matthew and Brady Kachuk had to say, why they threw the gloves so early on. Was it because of these Eastern Canadians booing our national anthem? Man, I'll tell you what, I wonder how our friends in Alberta and Saskatchewan feel about that. These Eastern Canadians who elected these wimps like Justin Trudeau in the first place. It's pretty clear he never played hockey. But get this, SportsCenter reported this. In 1996, Keith Kachuk dropped the gloves with Claude Lemieux 20 seconds into the game between USA and Canada. 29 years later, his two sons, Matthew and Brady, dropped the gloves in USA, Canada, 3 seconds into the game. Like father, like sons. By the way, as it just so happens, I happen to be wearing my USA, Canada baseball cap today. After we did that great retreat for those active duty Special Forces soldiers with the Devil's Brigade chapter of the Special Forces Association here in Montana, the chapter, my fellow chapter members sent me this really cool hat featuring the Devil's Brigade chapter of the Montana Special Forces Association, and it includes that U.S. Canada patch that our first Special Service Force had worn training up for World War II, right in Fort Harrison, Montana. It was a joint U.S.-Canadian force. And so pretty powerful when we fight together. But here's the other report. Let's see, because I played the better U.S.-Canada hockey fight report just a few minutes ago. Here's another one, I think, that includes some of the political angle.
Three different fights broke out on the ice just within 9 seconds of the game starting. This international hockey tournament features the best players in the world. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau was in the stands during all the chaos. It comes after President Trump threatened tariffs against Canada. The Trump administration says this is part of an effort to improve border security and ensure the U.S. is not taken advantage of in trade relations. Trump temporarily paused the 25% tariff plan against Canada, well, after Canada agreed to tighten its security at the northern border.
All right, there you go. Yeah, so the pretty little prime minister was there. No wonder they lost the game and the fights. I mean, maybe Canada needs a prime minister who's actually needs a leader who's actually played hockey. Let's see here. Let me see if I can cue this one up for you. Here we go. This was the Five for Fighting Justin Trudeau song. Here we go. Caden, keep your hand on the red button just in case.
That he never played hockey. Justin Trudeau has got to go. Stand player, he never played hockey. Totalitarian parliamentarians, they have no mind to skate. Their only love, their hate. They'll freeze your bank account. The Mounties, they won't mount to trample on your rights like Fidel. Justin Trudeau is rather slow. It's too bad he never played hockey like the great one. This potato has got to go. Get someone who played hockey.
Oh, man. And he was in the room. He was in the arena when they lost to the United States, not only in the three fights, but in the game as well. Maybe they do need a leader who played hockey. All right, let's see. What are we going to talk about? Oh, we got a bunch of stuff to talk about here on this Monday morning. Some big updates on the Montana front. Talking about the drug dealer arrests. We were talking about Trinidad Aragua and much more last week. So a lot to talk about here on this Monday as well. You want to be outside playing hockey in this weather?
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
What was Bidenomics exactly? It may be best understood as a muscular policy aimed first at pulling the economy out of a supposed pandemic abyss, quickly evolving into an effort to make government play a much bigger role in setting economic priorities, with much less concern over the impact of deficits. It was clearly a failure politically, with the incumbent president not even allowed by his party to run for re-election. And a new essay by Obama-era advisor Jason Furman details its economic failures as well. Just like the military generals who tried to fight the previous war, Bidenomics threw caution to the wind in avoiding what they judged to be the overly timid reaction of the Obama administration to the last recession as they assumed office. But the two situations were completely different, with the pandemic recovery already well underway with well-functioning credit markets. The spending surge sparked higher inflation, and in many cases that unhappy outcome torpedoed even its most direct aims. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Tax deadlines to remember for your 2024 return. I'm Taylor Riggs, co-host of The Big Money Show, with your Fox Business tax tip coming up.
It's time to take the quiz. Five questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Every quiz, every weekday, at thequiz.fox. And then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
The last day to file your return is Wednesday, April 15th, but extensions need to be requested before that date. You or your accountant must file a Form 4868, extending your filing due date by 6 months. But CPA Bill Dendy says this won't help if you've come up short on funds to pay.
You can get an automatic extension to October 15th. You just want to make sure all your taxes are paid, because it's not an extension to pay, it's just an extension to file.
Watch The Big Money Money Show weekdays at 12 p.m. Eastern on Fox Business. Taylor Riggs, Fox News.
Hi, Kathy. Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network. I'm Lane Northlund. Thousands of USDA employees were let go on Friday this past week in what the agency calls a workforce optimization effort, while the employees let go are calling it a St. Valentine's Day massacre. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins defended the decision, saying the move is part of a broader effort to make USDA more efficient and responsive to farmers and ranchers. She also announced a review of over 1,000 federal contracts and a return to in-office work for all employees, a priority that she highlighted during her first address as Secretary of Agriculture on Friday.
First and foremost, we are proud to invite the Department of Government Efficiency here into USDA. They're already here. They've been here for a few weeks, but we are welcoming the efforts because we know that that work will make us better here at USDA. It will make us stronger, it will make us faster, and it will make us more efficient. We will expect full access from all of our teams here at USDA to this effort.
DTN reports the cuts from USDA will primarily affect probationary employees, those in their first or second year of federal service, or recently promoted to roles requiring a probationary period. USDA employees from several key agencies were affected, including the Natural Resources Conservation Service, Economic Research Service, Agricultural Research Service, and the National Institute in Food and Agriculture, and others. The U.S. Forest Service also saw layoffs, though its firefighters were spared. However, union leaders are arguing the terminations were politically motivated, not performance-based, and may violate labor laws. The American Federation of Government Employees is considering legal action, saying many of those affected were dedicated public servants. The full impact on USDA services, including local offices that assist farmers and ranchers, remains to be seen. This is a developing story that we will continue to monitor here on the Western Ag Network.
Montana winners call for comfort food. Sign up for the Beef Box giveaway from the Montana Beef Council, and you can win $50 worth of beef. Whether you're making beef stew, a hearty roast, or a big pot of chili, beef is the perfect way to warm up after a cold day. Add some flavor to your winter meals and stock up on beef for those cozy nights at home. Don't miss your chance. Head to the Montana Beef Council website and enter today.
Come join us at the Stevenson Angus Spring Production Sale on Sunday, March 2nd. 325 Angus sale, including 100 two-year-olds and 110 yearling bulls. Age advantaged and pap tested, these bulls are designed to improve performance, carcass, and maternal function. Also offering 115 females, including April calving cows and yearling heifers. The sale will be at the White Sulphur Springs Ranch and broadcast live for remote buyers. Find us on Facebook or visit our website at StevensonAngus.com.
As we celebrate President's Day, we will also begin celebrating National FFA Week.
This is National FFA Week, and FFA students across the country are celebrating. I'm National FFA Western Region Vice President Abigail Jacobson from California. Many special and safe activities are happening in FFA communities this week, but all year long, FFA members experience education, leadership, service, and personal and professional development as FFA feeds our intellectual growth and curiosity. Celebrate with us and share your FFA stories during hashtag FFA Week.
And for all of us has-been FFA members, this is a great time to donate to your local, state, or national organizations and make a difference in the lives of young men and women that zip up that blue corduroy jacket. I'm Lane Northlund, Western Ag Network.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so if you guys remember, the big story, one of the big stories we were covering last week were these three drug dealer suspects that were arrested in Wolf Point. And then you had the story about the home invasion, burglary, guns involved, where you've got four, you know, likely illegal aliens on an ICE hold in the Gallatin County Detention Center. Now, well, an update, I saw the Northern Plains Independent, which first reported the story about which first reported the story about Oh, sorry, Caden. I was looking through the printouts here. It looks like I must have sent you too many of the Montana Talk stories to print out here. I don't know. My stinking email must have sent you. the whole list instead of just three or four things that I was hoping to have you print. It's done that before. If you ever wonder if it's like, wow, does Aaron really want me to print up every single one of these stories? Just no, or come double check with me. I apologize about that. Yeah, I did not mean to have you print up all those things. Although there's a lot of great headlines in here. You know, you get a Montana duo battling it out in the 2025 World Ice Fishing Championship. We've got a Montana ice angler who knows how to whisper to monster bass. Snow is a pain, but Montana water supply is doing great. I think that was one of the ones I did want to print out. But, yeah, for some reason, when I email the list of Montana Talks headlines, every now and then it'll paste, like, every article on the stinking website instead of just the one, two, three, or four that I actually tried to copy and paste. But anyway, there you go. That's all right. We're supporting our loggers. Chop down some more trees. Oh, that's right. We import too much paper from Canada because of the fact that we've got outrageous environmental regulations and liberal federal judges here in America that have shut down America for natural resources. So instead, we have to go buy it from socialist dictators in Canada instead. All right, let's see. Yeah, but the big story here, well, let me get to that one real quick since we're already pushing up on the Fox News update here. So the Northern Plains Independent has been reporting on those three drug dealing suspects who were arrested. And the big update is apparently one of those individuals, one of the two men, you know, the tatted up, they've got their faces covered with tattoos. One of those men apparently has been released because of evidentiary gathering errors or something to that effect. When I pull up the full story here in a second, as I clear through the stack of stuff, I'll give you the exact verbiage. But, you know, but they are saying that they believe that he could be arrested on federal charges because it's on the reservation. And so, of course, you've got some federal jurisdiction there with the FBI, et cetera. So while he was let out of the county jail on county charges, it looks like they think that he could be brought back in under federal charges. So that's the biggest update on that one story right there. Back in 60 seconds after this Fox News update. Where is the dang, I used a different word. Where is the freaking story here? I printed up the stinking thing. Oh, it's right in front of me. Of course, it's right in front of me. See, we're always trying to get organized here and trying to make sure we got as much show prep as possible for you so we can get all the information out there in what seems like a long time, but really it's a short time to get through all this information, especially here in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. Okay, the Northern Plains Independent. On January 28th, three individuals, Danny Garcia, Natasha Monsevalles, and Jesus Abetia, were apprehended in an operation by the Safe Trials Task Force consisting of federal agents, tribal agents, Highway Patrol, the Roosevelt County Sheriff's Office, and the Valley County Sheriff's Office. Let's see. Having reviewed the discovery and evidence provided by those agencies to the Roosevelt County Attorney's Office, the state charged Natasha with two counts of criminal possession with intent to distribute and charged Jesus Abetia with two counts of criminal possession of dangerous drugs. Unfortunately, the state could not use the evidence obtained by these agencies against Danny Garcia to substantiate state charges. The state of Montana has greater constitutional protections in how evidence may be obtained than the federal system as well as other states. Due to this, the evidence collected will not allow them to criminally charge Danny Garcia. While the evidence is not admissible in a Montana state criminal case, it may be admissible in federal proceedings. That is the update from the Northern Plains Independent in Wolf Point, and I shared that via Facebook as well. Tim and Savage sent us a message on the Montana Talks app just a few minutes ago. I'm going to share that after the break, though, because let's get to a caller on the phone lines. Nancy and Roundup, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Snowflakes. A couple of talking points. The Trump Daytona 500, I saw a couple of strong, silent messages there. The strength of the Trump leadership and, of course, the support of the American people. The whole world saw this. It was a spectacular flight in, over the racetrack itself, only 800 feet above. I thought that was absolutely spectacular. And the fact that he had his little six-year-old granddaughter with him with the red shoes and the MAGA hat, she had it signed. And that mocks the Biden family after all their years of rejection of Little Navy, the illegitimate daughter of Hunter Biden. But I thought it was absolutely spectacular. And I just want to say that I did some research this weekend on the U.S. aid for an editorial I wrote, and I pronounce it like Mark Levin, U.S. aid. Some people say USAID, but the point of it is that this is a executive order that was written out by John F. Kennedy. It has never gone through Congress. It is not a law. And listen to this, my fellow Americans. I found out that our national budget is $56 billion. U.S. aid has been getting $50 billion of our tax dollars every year out of our national budget, and they've been blowing it on anything and everybody all around the world. So think about that. It's just absolutely outrageous what I found out this weekend.
Yeah, great observations on President Trump in the NASCAR race. I'm going to add a couple.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah. Well, first off, Nancy had a couple of great observations there about the symbolism of President Trump at the NASCAR race. I didn't even think it was so cool seeing him with his granddaughter. She was riding around in the presidential limo as they did the lap around the track. And, yeah, she was just adorable. It was cool seeing her out on the track with him as well. I didn't even think about the symbolism of, you know, Joe Biden and how he refused to even acknowledge for the longest time his own granddaughter, you know, who was, you know, Hunter Biden's love child. But before I get to a couple of other observations here, for those of you who, yeah, hadn't seen the news, weren't watching the NASCAR race or haven't heard the news yet. Yeah, President Trump attending NASCAR's Daytona 500 race on Sunday for the second time as president. Here's Fox News Radio's Madison Scarpino reporting from the race in Daytona Beach, Florida.
President Trump making history as the first sitting president to attend the iconic race twice. The fans were very excited to see President Trump. The packed stands erupting in cheers. Anytime fans got a glimpse of President Trump and he made his presence known, the president started by flying over the racetrack in Air Force One. He then went out onto the track hand in hand with his granddaughter, meeting NASCAR legends and waving to the crowd.
All right, so yeah, apparently he was the first sitting president to attend the race twice. So I don't know if he was the first sitting president to attend the race or not, but at least there, just to be very clear and clarify that he is the first sitting president to attend the race twice. The other observation that I was going to make, you know, Nancy was talking about the symbolism of President Trump there with his granddaughter, and it was reminiscent of how Joe Biden refused to even acknowledge his own granddaughter. The other symbolism that I just find really interesting is, remember Let's Go Brandon? Remember the Let's Go Brandon t-shirts, the Let's Go Brandon swag, the Let's Go Brandon chants? I mean, you could even be at a Montana State University football game in Bozeman, and the school kids were chanting, Let's Go Brandon. Remember how that started? Remember where Let's Go Brandon came from? Do you guys remember where that came? It came from a NASCAR race. It was NASCAR, right? I know it was a race. It came from a NASCAR race because there was a... There was a NASCAR driver named Brandon, and remember, I think it was an NBC reporter who was like, well, and how great was it that everybody was cheering your name? They were saying, Let's Go Brandon. And you can hear the audio in the background, and they were not saying, Let's Go Brandon. In fact, they were saying, F Joe Biden. But she was like, oh, it's so cool. They're saying, Let's Go Brandon. That's where Let's Go Brandon came from. It came from a NASCAR race. So anyway, I thought that was a pretty comical. Here's what else I thought was pretty comical. So earlier in the hour, when we kicked off the 6 o'clock hour of the show, I was talking about how the gloves came off within seconds of the USA-Canada hockey game on Saturday night. Immediately, the Tkachuk brothers threw their gloves off, threw them on the ice, and started fighting the Canadian players. This was after the Eastern Canadians booed our U.S. national anthem. Not only did the U.S. players kick the butts of the Canadian hockey players in the fights, but they also beat them in the hockey game 3-1. Isn't hockey supposed to be Canada's thing? Yeah, maybe they need a prime minister who's actually played hockey. I thought hockey was Canada's game. America's, well, you could argue whether it's baseball or whether it's football. I would go with football myself, but some of you might say, no, it's as classic as baseball and American pie. I think football is more of America's sport. But regardless of that, shouldn't hockey kind of be their thing in Canada? And yet they got beat in the fights and they got beat in the game. Tim in Savage says this, you know, it's hardly fair and balanced. We took the All-Stars from the 50 United States states against the All-Stars from the 51st state. So we had all of our All-Stars from the 50 U.S. states. And, you know, they were only able to get their All-Stars from the 51st state. For those of you who don't get the reference there, of course, that's... You know, President Trump has been mocking the pretty little Prime Minister Justin Trudeau of Canada and calling Canada the 51st state. And obviously that's the reference there. All right. Nancy also talked about the USAID wasteful spending and funding. Did you guys see 60 Minutes last night? I know you probably didn't waste your time watching that liberal nonsense, but they did their big special expose. Oh, it was so awful. These USAID employees, they lost their jobs. The lady that was featured in that report is a political hack. She was a longtime top speechwriter for the left-wing hack that the Democrats put in charge of the USAID. So she's very closely aligned politically with the very woman who's responsible for all the fraud, waste, and abuse that is being exposed. Now, that is now being exposed at the USAID. That's point one. That ties in with something else here. Jesse Waters, you know, I sometimes when I'm getting ready for Monday's show, I'll just go back to the Sunday shows and see what they were talking about on the Sunday shows if I didn't get a chance to see it in real time myself. And so, but instead, I went all the way back to Friday. I went all the way back to Friday because, you know, Friday we had a great time in Glendive for the Glendive Agri Trade Expo. Tim and Savage joined us for the first couple hours. If you missed it, check out the full audio on our podcast. But and so by Friday night, you know, it's Valentine's Day. And so, you know, other things to do other than sit there and watch the news, right? But anyway, Jesse Waters had a great segment Friday night. Do you guys remember the crazy liberal songs that we played last week? We're here, we're right. It's all the shrieking, shrilling liberal protesters. Elon Musk. Well, the Doge choir is back. Jesse Waters had more of the highlights on Friday night if you missed it.
I will lift you up when they push you down. I will raise my voice and stand my ground. Well, it looks like it might be a hard road, but I'm gonna walk it with you.
The Democrats' anti-Doge choir is back with a fresh new track. It's almost as painful as Greg's bumping music. Those liberal lunatics capping off another week of anti-Elon rallies, raging against the waste management wizards. Doge now has a website that's keeping score on all the government slop they're digging up. Case in point, the Department of Education just had to slash grants to 4 equity assistance centers, blowing $33 million of your taxpayer cash on things like this workshop on whiteness.
Today's virtual roundtable is entitled Identifying and Disrupting Your Whiteness, a workshop addressing power and privilege toward anti-racist spaces.
And we just got an exclusive clip. Sean Hannity sitting down with President Trump and Elon Musk for their first joint interview. Let's watch.
All right. Anyway, so that clip, then it goes on for about another minute and a half. And just in the interest of time, we'll keep rolling here. But basically, Elon Musk and Donald Trump, yeah, they sit down for an interview with Sean Hannity. That'll air tomorrow night. I'm sure he'll have some highlights on his radio show here later today that most of you will be able to hear on your local radio station. But basically, Hannity makes a good point. You know, you can tell that what the leftist media and what these protesters are trying to do, they're trying to drive a wedge between you and Elon Musk by referring to Elon Musk as President Musk. And Donald Trump was like, oh, yeah, of course. It's blatantly obvious what they're doing. Elon Musk said the same thing. And no, we're not falling for it. They're not falling for it. You name it. Let's see. But yeah, I mentioned, hey, Tim and Savage was with us Friday morning for the early morning hours of the show, sidekicking with us on Montana Talks as we were live from Glendive all morning long. And big thanks to our producer, Caden Bjornstedt, for making the trip. He was a huge help. Usually I'm out there flying solo, trying to pull off a whole show, set up equipment, line up guests, you name it. But Caden was there, was a great help. And fun to travel with as well and BS with along the way. But Tim and Savage came and joined us for the first couple of hours. So it was my first time getting to see Tim and Savage since he lost all of the weight thanks to Billings' last diet. He's lost like 90 pounds now. Anyway, our producer Caden on the Montana Talks X account, you can see a photograph of Tim and I at the Gates Show in Glendive on Friday, and you can just see how skinny he is. Tim, does anybody tell you look taller now? Whenever I slim down after my diet tune-up with Billings' last diet, people always like, did you get taller? It's like, nah, just trimmed up a little bit. I did my diet tune-up through Billings' last diet. It makes you look taller when you lose the weight, too. And his knees don't hurt anymore, he was telling us. BillingsLastDiet.com or call 406-294-6751. Tim lives way out on the North Dakota border. If he can go through Billings' last diet and succeed, so can you. Let's see. Back after this with the legislative update.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
If Democrats, if this is their strategy, they want to double down on fighting against deporting known terrorists, murderers, known murderers, rapists, known cartel members, gang members, those that didn't respect our laws, borders, and sovereignty, and they want to make the case that they should stay, let them do it. If now that they've been exposed for hundreds of billions in reckless, woke, Green New Deal, trans-supporting, DEI-supporting, abortion-supporting, taxpayer dollars going to every country but our country, let them fight on that hill, because they have doubled down on dumb, stupid, and a absolute tragedy.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, you exhausted every day? Maybe you have the 3 p.m. crash or struggling with memory issues, having a hard time focusing. You have to stop and pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. I never run out of energy, and I'm fully focused. Strong Cell, it's a revolutionary supplement that has truly changed my life. I use it every single day. It gives you natural energy, helps me stay focused all day long, and just makes me feel better overall. Whether you're a working mom or dad, or homeschooling your kids, or some of our loyal men and women behind the wheel across the country, try Strong Cell. It'll change your life. Linda uses it as well.
I use it every single day. I have my kids using it, my parents using it, my in-laws using it, my friends using it, and I am telling you, it is immediate. It is one of the only ways you can get NADH on the market, and it works.
Go to HannityStrong.com. Use promo code Hannity. You get a special 20% off any order. Once again, HannityStrong.com. And Strong Cell believes in their product so much, you get a 60-day no-risk policy. Invest in your health. I did it. It changed my life. My life.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. As some light snow continues in the area today, accumulations from around an inch up to 2 to 3 inches in some areas. High temperature of 19 in Bozeman to 2 above in Billings. For tonight, more areas of light snow with around an inch or two in spots, with low temperature readings from 5 below in Bozeman to about 10 below in the Billings area. More snow showers continue tomorrow. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Hey, we've got an update on the efforts to ban Russian palladium and hopefully get the Stillwater mine back up and running here in Montana. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Recently, I got a chance to catch up with Heather McDowell, who is the Senior Vice President for Legal and External Affairs at the Stillwater Mine. Very cool guest. She grew up on a ranch in Bridger, did rodeo in college, and she had some great things to say about this very topic. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com.
When do you need to hire a professional to handle your tax return? I'm Taylor Riggs, co-host of The Big Money Show, with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
It's time to take the quiz. 5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Many Americans are able to handle their income tax return on their own or with the free or low-cost home software. But CPA Bill Dendy says in some situations it may call for professional help.
It doesn't take a whole lot to get pretty complex. And that's when calling that CPA, it's worth it. I always do to get a great answer and have somebody that understands the situation to walk you through.
Experts always advise to consider whether you have the time and patience when choosing the DIY route. Watch The Big Money Show weekdays at 12 p.m. Eastern on Fox Business. Taylor Riggs, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlofsky.
Earlier this month, we witnessed something that may signal a major shift in positions at the Montana legislature. For the first time in 14 years, a bill dealing with doctor-assisted suicide actually passed from one house and was transmitted to the other. It all began in December 2009 when the Montana Supreme Court issued another in a long line of poorly worded, ambiguous decisions, this time in the case of Baxter versus Montana, where Robert Baxter asked the court to give terminally ill patients the right to receive a lethal dose of medicine from a doctor. The Supreme Court ultimately ruled that there was nothing in public policy prohibiting a doctor from doing so. Really? Title 45.5.105 of the Montana Code says that a person who purposely aids or solicits another to commit suicide is guilty of homicide and shall be imprisoned for up to 10 years or fined $50,000 or both. The court's decision said aiding a suicide remained defined as homicide, but under a very narrow set of circumstances, if someone aided a suicide and was subsequently charged with homicide, they might be able to claim the consent of the victim as a defense. That was all the proponents of suicide needed. They ran straight to the press and said that assisted suicide was now completely legal in Montana. That set off a fight in the legislature to clarify the issue. Both proponents and opponents agreed the decision was ambiguous, and both sides sought clarity. In session after session for the next 14 years, two bills would appear, one stating assisted suicide was not legal in Montana, and the other saying that it was legal. Long lines of witnesses would attend the hearings. Experts were flown in from out of state, and the hearings would go on for hours. In the end, it would always end in a stalemate. Neither bill would pass, so the issue remained in legal limbo. That is, until this year. On January 30th, the Senate Judiciary Committee heard Senate Bill 136, a relatively simple bill that says that assisted suicide is against public policy and the consent of the victim is not a defense if a doctor is charged with homicide. Interestingly, the crowds of witnesses have dwindled over the years. The lead proponent of the bill this year was Lieutenant Governor Kristen Juris speaking for the governor's office, followed by Derek Astriker, Chief Legal Counsel for the Montana Family Foundation. Those opposed to the bill included a smattering of doctors who claimed to be writing prescriptions for legal doses of drugs and Robert Baxter's attorney. Ironically, Mr. Baxter passed away from leukemia on the same day the court rendered its decision. Mercifully, he passed in his sleep and did not commit suicide. Senate Bill 136 passed out of the committee on February 3rd and passed the full Senate on February 7th on a 29-20 third reading vote. It was a milestone and may reflect a change in attitudes on the issue. Montana has one of the highest suicide rates in the nation, and legalized suicide sends a mixed message, telling people on the one hand that suicide is wrong and on the other that it's perfectly okay in certain circumstances. We're also seeing a shift as we watch the issue play out in other states and nations. The slippery slope that we've talked about for years has begun to manifest. The concern is that as a quote-unquote right to die becomes more socially acceptable, it will eventually morph into a duty to die where elderly and sick patients are pressured to take prescribed medication to end their lives for the sake of their families and the betterment of society as a whole. A letter was also read at a hearing several years ago where a cancer patient in Oregon where assisted suicide is legal was told by their insurance company that they would not cover the cost of an experimental drug, but they would cover the cost of medications to commit suicide. Thankfully, Senate Bill 136 has cleared the Senate and is on its way to the House, and we'll keep you posted on the bill's progress. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laslaffy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right. Thanks to Jeff Laslaffy for another legislative update. I know folks greatly appreciate those. Evan and Belt has a really good question about why Republican senators would have voted against the Ten Commandments in our schools. We'll get to that more next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
What was Bidenomics exactly? It may be best understood as a muscular policy aimed first at pulling the economy out of a supposed pandemic abyss, quickly evolving into an effort to make government play a much bigger role in setting economic priorities, with much less concern over the impact of deficits. It was clearly a failure politically, with the incumbent president not even allowed by his party to run for re-election. And a new essay by Obama-era advisor Jason Furman details its economic failures as well. Just like the military generals who tried to fight the previous war, Bidenomics threw caution to the wind in avoiding what they judged to be the overly timid reaction of the Obama administration to the last recession as they assumed office. But the two situations were completely different, with the pandemic recovery already well underway with well-functioning credit markets. The spending surge sparked higher inflation, and in many cases that unhappy outcome torpedoed even its most direct aim. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.